Welcome to Flavors Under the Big Sky, celebrating the bounty of the region. I'm Stella Fong. The theme of this show is Good Eats for Under $10. That's one Hamilton Bill or 10 Washingtons. I mention these historic leaders because King's Hat, the Muzzle Loader, and Rocket Gourmet Wraps and Sodas are well-established restaurants here in Billings, Montana. King's Hat is an old-fashioned drive-in located on the south side on First Avenue, right across the street from Cereal Food Processor's grain storage silos. At lunchtime, a line of cars form on the north side of the street. Now, owners Jim and Vicki Hodgsons tell us how it all began.
King's Hat was named King's Hat in the mid-70s. It was originally, the building and the drive-up was originally a Big Boy drive-in. We used to have a picture of it with all the old prices on it, 35 cents for a hamburger kind of a thing. It was established in 1949. They had a name dispute with the actual Big Boy burger restaurants. And so I don't know if they changed the name at the time or they just kept the name and then sold the business. And it was then later called Jim's Southside Drive-In. I'm thinking that was probably in the 60s, early 60s. And then in the mid 70s, another owner bought it and changed it to the King's Hat.
And then you guys came to be?
And we came to be in 2010.
Okay, so it's been fairly recent since you bought this place. Because I had heard rumors that this place was going away and I was very sad.
No, not going away.
And are you from Billings?
I am. Yes.
And had this been a place that you had come to as a kid?
No. It's kind of like my dad, who is 93 years old and lived in the Billings area pretty much most of his life, didn't even know this place existed. I didn't know it existed until I bought a building across the street and then realized it was here. And then as I'm sitting in my building office over there, looking at all the cars and stuff driving through, I thought to myself, those guys are busy. And then I used to do landscape maintenance, and it's a lot of hard work, and you know, you gotta go chase your work and do a lot of sales that way and stuff. And I'm thinking it'd be nice to have all my customers come to me rather than me having to go to my customers. I did the landscaping for a little over 20 years, and then the King's Hat was up for sale. And so I looked at my wife and I said, you know, I'm getting kind of old. Well, I wonder if it'd be worthwhile to take a look at it. So we took a look at it and she was on board with it, and so we decided to buy it.
Well, I want to get Vicki's take on this as to how she felt about picking this business up. So he comes home with the idea that we're going to buy King's Hat. What was your first thought?
Well, my daughter had just graduated from high school, so I was going to go back in the workforce anyway. I was looking for a full-time job, and he said, well, why do you want to work for someone else? Let's work for ourselves. So I thought it was awesome.
Which is kudos to the two of you, because many couples can't work together. And this has been a great partnership?
Yes, a very good partnership. We don't always work the same hours. We try to have some hours in between where one of us isn't here, so we're not together all day. But it's been great.
So tell me about your menu. Have you pretty much kept it intact?
Yes. Yes, we've kept it the same. And there was an item on there that they quit selling the spices to, so we had to drop that item off the menu. But other than that, we've kept everything the same.
Vicki showed me a copy of the 1949's menu. Back when Andy, Paul, and John Slavik owned the drive-in, Montana's first double burger was 50 cents, and a cheeseburger sold for 35. Flying saucers were advertised to be toasted and sealed with your choice of garnishes. We can fly any sandwich we sell. You call them, we fly them, at no extra charge. Now, almost 70 years later.
We sell a lot of flying burgers. And any sandwich can come flying style, except for our foot-long hot dogs.
And we would like to know what flying means.
Flying is, rather than on a bun, we put it in between two pieces of sandwich bread and put it into a machine that toasts the bread and shapes it and seals it into a flying saucer.
And you're going to demonstrate that for us, aren't you?
I sure can.
Let's go for it.
All right.
We move over to the hot griddle where Jim fries up all the meat patties. Once cooked, he goes to the flying machine, much like a waffle iron, with a concave groove both on the top and bottom. A slice of white bread goes on the bottom, then the meat goes on, and another slice of bread. The top clamps down, and the saucer sandwich is cooked for 20 seconds. Let's get back to cooking with Jim.
So this is a hobby patty that goes in.
Yep.
And how long do you grill it for?
About 3 minutes.
Okay.
Till they're brown on both sides.
Well, and the secret is these look ultra thin.
Yeah, they're an eighth of a pound.
And you're pressing them down with the spatulas?
Yeah.
Just to make them really thin?
Well, just to speed it up.
All right.
And then about another 20 seconds on the flying machine.
Well, tell us about some of the other items that you have on the menu.
We have pork chops, or we have double bacon cheeseburgers, which are a big selling item. Pork chops are a big selling item.
And how are the pork chops prepared?
They're deep fat fried. Footlongs, you know, corn dogs. We have sloppy joes, toasted cheese, which are just a flying style burger that we put on the flyers. All right, we have a loaded sauce, which is mustard, ketchup, pickled onions all chopped up, mixed together. Or the customers can order individual items. It's a little different, it's tangy, but people that try it for the first time, you know, are kind of taken back, and then pretty soon they're smacking their lips and they're like, that's pretty good.
The sauce goes on top of the patty.
Correct.
And you let that warm up for a few minutes.
For a few seconds, yeah. And then we'll put it on the bread and then put it in the flying machine. It is, I don't know if it is the original grill, but it's pretty close. Yeah, it's, people say, yeah, it's the grill that makes the food. And I guess.
It's been well used. It is.
Kind of like a skillet, an old iron skillet. We've just basically carried on from what it has been for decades.
So you have 2 pieces of white bread.
Right. And we just put the other half on, put it on top of the machine right now. All right, so there you go. You got 2 of them ready. And we just close it. It takes about 20 seconds to close them.
What do you do with the crust?
Well, sometimes we save them for my dad to feed the birds. Usually we just toss them.
Okay.
We don't have much room. Everything pretty much has a home in here.
Yes.
We don't have a lot of extra room, or we have a big barrel we could just toss them in, which would be nice, but.
What is the square footage of this kitchen?
Like 450 square feet.
And usually is it just the two of you? It looks like there's 4 of you in here.
5 of you.
Love it. And then it goes into a little wrapper
a
here.
A little bag.
And there you go.
And what do most people order along with this?
French fries, onion rings, potato jams, which are barrels, potato barrels, or
like tater tots.
Tater tots. We have mushrooms, breaded mushrooms, a big item that we sell a lot of.
And of their French fries, Vicky says.
Our fries are homemade. Every morning we chop fresh fries for the day, and then in the afternoon we re-chop more. So they're skins-on homemade fries.
And for those who have an old-fashioned sweet tooth.
We have milkshakes. A lot of people don't know that you can mix the milkshake flavors. Strawberry marshmallow or a cherry marshmallow shake or chocolate marshmallow. Oh, Hot Tots and Bebops. Hot and Tot is a cinnamon flavoring Coke or a Diet Coke, or you could put it in Dr. Pepper. Some people do that. And then a Bebop, which is a rum flavoring. I don't know, rum and Coke, you know, kind of thing.
So for those who do come down around noon and the traffic is going down First Avenue, what are some hints that you might have for those people?
We have a menu that you can take home and you can call us and we'll prepare, just like if you were driving in, you know, you call up and we'll probably tell you 10 minutes, and in 10 minutes you can come down and pick up your food rather than sitting waiting in line.
Well, that's a great hint. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We now go to a restaurant established in the mid-1950s. It is owned by Marlon and Renee Ingberg. For 14 years, the two have operated the Powderhorn Lounge and Casino and this iconic eatery.
We are at the Muzzleloader Cafe, and I have the pleasure of sitting here with Renee Ingberg, who is the owner of this iconic place on Laurel Road. Renee, thanks for talking to me.
You're welcome. I'm glad that you're here.
This is one of these places that if someone was coming into town or I was craving biscuits and gravy, this would be my go-to place to come to because it just is so filled with comfort. How did this all begin for you, that you could provide such a wonderful home place that people in our community can come to?
My husband and I purchased the business. We'll be going on 14 years now. And we originally were looking to buy some type of establishment. His father and background have been in the bar business. So when the Powderhorn Lounge was for sale, we found out it also came with the Muzzleloader Cafe. And so we took a big step and a giant leap and jumped right into it.
And were you in here before it was remodeled, or you were responsible for expanding this establishment?
When we purchased the business, it was the old building. And we had an opportunity to buy some land around us for more parking. We required more parking, and then we didn't have enough buildings. So we went ahead and put up a brand new building, a little bit bigger, but still the very same location.
How many people does this restaurant seat?
We seat approximately 120. We move them pretty fast. We're not a fast food restaurant by any means, but we're able to get people in and out without a very long wait at all.
Well, basically, I believe the menu has stayed somewhat the same. Have you changed it since your purchase?
Changed very little. We added a few things, some wraps, breakfast wraps, chicken wraps. Changed some quality of the food. You know, we're known for our chicken fried steak. We purchase a fresh cube steak from a local grocer here in Billings, support the community. And we bring it in and we dip it in flour. We dip it in egg. And then we pound them out with our hand. We hand bread it through some breadcrumbs, and they're ready to go. And I'm told that people remember those chicken fries as well as our biscuits and gravy.
Your biscuits and gravy, what is the secret to the gravy of that dish?
I can't tell you the secret because it wouldn't be one anymore.
Well, and the biscuits, it is just one of those, it's a very filling dish, and we come in and it's just, again, as I said, it was comfort. So what do you think, I know it's a secret, but what do you think makes it so that when a customer comes in, they just fall in love with it?
Well, we have had a time where my supplier, we buy a ready-made biscuit, we don't make our own, we buy a ready-made one, and they've been unable to provide it, or their truck hadn't come in, so we had to substitute something else for that week until they could get them. Our customers who come in daily know the difference, so we're always anxious when we can get back to that original biscuit that we've always had.
Aside from the biscuits and gravy, with two buttermilk biscuits smothered in sausage gravy, and the Muzzleloader's famous chicken fried steak, served with two eggs, hash browns, and toast topped with brown or country gravy, they also offer up sandwiches such as the French dip and Reuben. Then burger options include the patty melt with sautéed onions with melted Swiss cheese on grilled rye bread for all under $10.
So what were you doing before you purchased this property?
I worked for Food Services of America in their will call office, but only for 1 year. I had no food or restaurant background. So when we took this little project on, it became a lot of learning for me to do. And I stumbled through it, but we got such great employees that have shown me the way and how we did things. They all stayed when the purchase took over. So the same employees, the same service. And they taught me the business, which was wonderful.
So you're here every day, is that true?
That is true. I do get 1 day off a week sometimes, depending on staffing issues. But we believe if you want your business to succeed, you have to be in your business.
Well, part of our exploration for this show is that we were looking for meals at lunch for under $10, and you really have kept your prices reasonable. How have you been able to do that?
I'm here every day watching. Because we make a lot of items ourselves. They're not ready-made. That keeps the cost down. We're very concerned about waste. So we're constantly got our eyes open on how can we save some money and keep those prices down. And we've been pretty successful at doing that.
Who have been some of your employees that have been with you the longest?
I have one server that's been here since, well, for 25 years, long before we've had it. I've got employees here for 10 years. They're just people that stay. They like it here. We like to have them here. It helps with the consistency of the food when you have the same people doing it all the time.
How is your husband involved in the business?
I don't let him get involved over here. He actually is more managing the Powderhorn lounge side of our business. I manage the muzzleloader, and we keep them as two separate businesses so we can keep track of one's not feeding the other sort of thing. And that way it's less confusing for the employees as well, that they know who they report to.
You must have customers that have become almost family members.
I went back and figured it out just the other day. We should be going on the fourth generation of people with the muzzleloader. We have customers in here. People come in with their kids that tell us they were here as a child with their grandpa. There was a time where we had three high chairs, and that seemed to be plenty. And now we run out of high chairs on the weekend, so we just have to go get more.
Did you come in here before you purchased this? Was this a place that you frequented?
Only as a customer, but not as an owner. So I had never done anything like this before. But yes, I had eaten here before.
I still think it was very brave of you to take on a business that you really were not familiar with. What propelled you to just say, I'm going to go do this?
My husband really wanted to buy the bar. It was his goal. It was his dream. And I said, you know, let's just do it. And we did.
What business was he in before?
He was semi-retired. We both were in outside sales prior to this, and that's how we had met. And then he was semi-retired and just still wanted to have that bar tavern that his dad had up in Lewistown when he was growing up. Just couldn't stay away.
What was the name of the bar in Lewistown?
It's called the Western Lounge, or the Western Bar. It's on Main Street in Lewistown.
So obviously it's in his blood, because I don't look at owning a restaurant as semi-retirement.
That you're right about. It's not any type of retirement whatsoever.
At the Muzzleloader Cafe, there are no rules of what and when you can eat.
I'd like to say that we do serve breakfast all day long. We have a full dinner menu, which you can easily have at 11 o'clock for lunch if you'd like. Our menu's a full menu at very reasonable prices.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Glad you could come.
With both King's Hat and the Muzzleloader Cafe, owners are present and working in their businesses. Perhaps this is why people keep coming back for food prepared and service provided with attention and care. In the second part of Good Eats for Under $10, we go to Rocket Gourmet Wraps and Sodas. For many years, owners Brian and Gayla Thompson have anchored the somewhat obscure spot downtown across from the Northern Hotel. But now they may be considered the pioneers of a gourmet corner, with Big Dipper ice cream up the way and Le Fournil, a French bread bakery, a few doors down. Let's hear from Brian on how Rockets came to be.
Well, my wife and I, we've done food service our entire lives, and we wanted to, I think the natural progression is you want to branch out, you think you can build a better mousetrap. So we wanted to do something that was fun and creative and energetic. And I think wraps is a good application of that theory, because if you open up a sandwich shop, there's only certain things you can put in a sandwich, but wraps are like completely, all rules are off. You can kind of do whatever you want. And so that was pretty much the basis of the business plan in the very beginning.
Why Billings, Montana?
Both my wife and I had relocated to Billings. We've been here about 3 years when we started Rockets. And like I say, we just, once again, we wanted to get out of doing it for somebody else.
So your wraps have influences from all over the world. Tell me about how that came to be.
I think that goes back to you can put anything in a wrap. In the very beginning, I think a lot of people thought we were Hispanic food oriented because it's in a tortilla. And it was kind of a educational process to the population of Billings that, no, you can put a, you know, a jambalaya-based mix in a wrap, or we could do a Thai peanut sauce. And that's kind of what's, I think, fun and energetic about Rockets is our menu is completely eclectic and diverse. It's, you know, people will call in and ask if we have something with chicken. Well, that's not the best answer. You know, and to explain our menu start to finish is quite a dialogue. And so it's just something that keeps it fun and interesting.
Well, you allow the eater to actually be creative because, you know, other than the suggestions on your chalkboard with your menu, we really can come in and just have whatever we want.
Absolutely. You know, 80, I'd probably say 80% of what we do, yes, we do wrap it up in a tortilla. But you can have all those ingredients as a salad. So if you're watching carbs, something along that lines, we can take any of the wraps, put it on a bed of romaine, and now you have a salad. And we're super, you know, any sort of dietary needs, if it's something as complex as celiac, or if you're just gluten insensitive, we're super aware of those things. Vegetarians, most of the flavors on all of our menu items come from sauces or salsas, not the protein that's in it. And so we simply just remove the protein and you have an excellent vegetarian item.
So tell me, what does go into your wraps? You have brown rice, you have beans, you have other items. You talked about a salad going in.
So I'd probably say the majority of it, yes, we do use steamed rice as the base ingredients. We have white or brown rice. And then from there, all those specialty flavors are coming in. And so our chicken is, it's an organic red bird chicken out of Colorado, super good quality chicken. And so we'll use that on a base on quite a few, but then that's when the flavor profiles come in. If it's a Thai peanut sauce, or if it's a creamy ginger sauce, we even have one that we use pasta as a base and then do chicken. And then we have a creamy Alfredo sauce that goes on it.
So over all these years, your menu has stayed pretty constant. What has kept you from changing it around with all the new flavors that are coming and going in this world?
I think we do menu changes every couple years. We actually have one coming up here maybe in the springtime. It's pretty hard for us to do a menu change. There's a lot involved to go to menus, the internet, our chalkboards, things like that. But I think consistency is one of the biggest things that Rocket Burritos is built on, both customer service consistency and food consistency. So I think if you shake it up too much, you know, people like what they like. And we have, you know, I'd probably say 80% of our clientele come in more than once a week and they get the same exact thing. We are able to change it up because we always have a special of the week. So those are always something we can put in as new flavors and something interesting. And then if they go really well, the next menu change, we typically integrate them into the new menu.
You also create your own sodas, flavors. What are the options that people can have?
So we do. Right now we have 5 draft sodas on tap. All of them are made with 100% cane sugar, unless it's a cream soda variation. Like say right now we have orange cream, and then we do a balance of honey and cane sugar. So right now we have a root beer, a black cherry, a ginger ale. We have the orange cream mentioned. And then lastly is our grapefruit soda, and we make it with stevia. And so it's our diet version. It's all natural, no artificial colors, ingredients, anything along that line. So we kind of like to give everybody an option there.
We always like to end the meal with something sweet. Homemade cookies, were those created by you?
I would love to take the credit for that, but no. My wife does all the production baking. And so like every other thing we do at Rockets, we make everything from scratch here. All of our cookies are made in our kitchen, real vanilla, real sugar, real butter. Bake them fresh every day. And typically we always have 4 or 5 cookies. Maybe in the summertime, you might see something along the lines of a key lime pie or a brownie bar or something like that. And that's where my wife's a fantastic baker, and that's where she can kind of express some of her creativity is come down here and whip up some fantastic things, like you said, to end the meal with.
When you walk into Rockets, it counterfronts a large chalkboard with colorful writing of the menu offerings. Brian is always on hand at the beginning of the line to take your order and make the wraps.
Let's go through and make a wrap.
With it being cold out, our Bayou is one of the most popular wraps. We do rice and beans, and then our Bayou mix is very similar to a jambalaya. We have red and green bell peppers, onions, andouille sausages, chicken. And when it gets cold out, it's kind of one of those stick to your bones, kind of warm me up, feel good kind of wraps. So.
It's a wrap that people don't think about putting in a tortilla.
Jambalaya in a tortilla, I think, is kind of a newer
definitely
deal.
Definitely fusion. Yeah.
So jump right in?
Yes.
All right. We have different choices of tortilla flavors. There's six of them. I'm going to use the cheddar, which is the most popular for the Bayou. So we're going to put it in our tortilla warmer. One of two things, obviously, it warms it up. Two, it makes it pliable. One of the things that we're super aware with eating everything out of a tortilla is convenience. And so you don't want it on your shirt or in your lap or somewhere along that line. So we're gonna make sure the tortilla is super pliable. Start off with some steamed white rice. Move on to red beans. Good and drained so it's not messy and soggy. And then the red bird chicken, as I mentioned earlier, all natural, comes out of Colorado, it's a great product. And then the last is the Bayou mix that we make here in-house. Once again, we have andouille sausage, red and green bell peppers, there's celery, chicken stock, tomato paste, and then a little bit of cayenne, and that's where the heat's coming from. This is the only one we make intentionally spicy, and I would say it's, you know, maybe a 4 out of 10. We also feature our hot sauce. We've been making this from the get-go too. It's a habanero sauce, scotch bonnets, vinegar, pepper flakes, and cayenne pepper. And super popular. So if you are a hothead and you wanna come in and get something like crazy hot, just ask for the hot sauce. We always ask, you know, like a 1 to 10, how much you want on there. We can make it a little zesty or we can make it like crazy hot. So we're gonna finish by with a little cheddar cheese and some sour cream. Give it a little creaminess in there, and then we're just gonna use our, I don't know if this is a patented method, but I like to think it is, of wrapping these guys up. So once again, you go back the first bite, you're gonna get ingredients. It's gonna be nice and neat and tidy. We always tell people, I'll see people taking it out of the foil. When you don't want it, that's a recipe for disaster. You keep it in the foil, you just pull the foil back bit by bit, and you go to town, and you're good to go.
And you serve it with a side of tortilla chips.
Correct. It's going to come with tortilla chips. Salsa is one of those items that we do add on. It's 50 cents. We make our salsa fresh in-house every day. It's a good balance. There's a little brown sugar in there to kind of sweeten it up. And then there's pureed chipotle peppers to give it just kind of a smoky overtone. And then we typically always have a homemade hummus to go with those chips as well. Right now we have a roasted red pepper hummus.
The wrap makes for an easy eating meal with all the ingredients contained in one convenient package.
One of our mission statements is fast food convenience, but full service quality. And so, like you said, we want the convenience of people coming in and out, less expensive, but we want to up the game with that and have quality that you would expect from a full service meal.
And thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for coming in.
It's a wrap.
Flavors Under the Big Sky, celebrating the bounty of the region, was produced with the help of Ken Siebert. Theme music is by Parker Brown. For more information about this show, go to ypradio.org. I'm Stella Fong.